Nuketown Radioactive number 48 for Monday, April 30th, 2007. In this edition of Nuketown Radioactive, The Sickness Returns, a new comics column, crafty podcasts, and a review of Ben Bova's SF novel, Jupiter. Everyone, and welcome to Radioactive number 48. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and even though I may not sound like your host, Ken Newquist, because, yeah, once again, I have got a cold. If you remember correctly, about a month ago, I was suffering from strep throat. Well, this time around, my children have seen fit to bless me with just a horrible hacking cough, and oh wait, it gets better, a sinus infection, because I was on the road last week, and I flew out to Minneapolis-St. Paul, and near as I can figure, despite drinking lots of fluids, I just got a sinus infection from just, you know, the whole pressurization, depressurization thing. I felt like my head was playing ping pong. It was pretty nasty, but that's okay, and I won't rant forever about my medical problems. Okay, yes, I will. Because, you know, this is part of the challenge of being a geek dad, right? Of being a parent in general, is that you send your kids to preschool and out into that brave new world, and they come back with germs, and they get you sick. It just never seems to end. Sue's theory is that we'll only have to go through this once, because Jordan will expose us to all the bugs, and then by the time Luke goes to school, we will not have these problems because we'll have already experienced all the bugs. My theory is a little bit more pessimistic. Luke will probably just find entirely new bugs to infect us with, and we're just going to be sick continuously for the next, I don't know, 5 to 6 years. Seems about right, right? You know, geek parents, let me know what you think. So I am slowly coming out of my sinus infection-induced quasi-coma, thanks to the wonderful antibiotics that my doctor gave me, and my cough is slowly but surely abating, but not before I hurt my back coughing. I mean, how pathetic is that, to hurt your back coughing? You know, it's just you tense up so hard because you're hacking so bad, and the next thing you know, you're like, wow, what's that twinge? Well, that twinge is your back. Oh, crap. I have a hurt back in addition to, you know, not being able to breathe and this, like, ice pick going into my head. God, guys. Kids are wonderful, but man, the germs that they infect you with. So, moving right along, talking about the kids. Luke has started eating finger food, though he refuses to actually put the food in his mouth himself. So this has given rise to Cheerios everywhere. Cheerios being pretty much the ultimate finger food for 1 year olds, or near to be 1 year olds. And fortunately, we have our canine cleaning crew that just goes around and eats all the Cheerios as they hit the floor. In other Luke news, for some strange reason, he's decided that he doesn't like spoons. So you try and feed him food on a spoon, and he doesn't want to eat it, unless yogurt. That seems to be the only exception to the rule. Anything else, he just kind of turns his nose up to it, and he puts his hands in like an X in front of his face and says, no, I don't want it. But at the same time, he'll let you put food in his mouth using your fingers, which is really just kind of annoying. I mean, on the plus side, he's not putting a lot of other things that he finds into his mouth, which is, you know, good when those things that he finds are stuff that he shouldn't have that was on the floor. But, you know, it would really be nice if he would start to feed himself. The other Luke news is that we are now officially into the Babygate Olympics, which is because Luke is into freaking everything because he's crawling, pulling himself up, and starting to do the whole straddling thing where he tries to walk from one piece of furniture to the next without letting go. So this means that he's into cabinets, toys, garbage cans, Xboxes, just Just everything. So the baby gates are back after a 2-year hiatus. They're on the stairs as well because, well, bless his heart, he likes to climb the stairs. And he can get up the stairs in a surprisingly short amount of time. You wouldn't think he'd be that fast, but you turn your back for 1 second and he's halfway up the freaking stairs. And this wouldn't necessarily be so much of a problem if he wasn't so bad at it, because half the time he goes up the stairs, he'll end up, sliding back down because he kind of missed a step. So that is the other part of the Great Luke Adventure. Now, I did want to mention over on Nuketown, I have a new column called Top of the Pile, which is my new comic book column. There's one edition up now. From about, I guess, 2 weeks ago. I don't pick up my comics quite as regularly as, say, some other fans might, but I just got a new stack of them, so you can expect another Top of the Pile column coming out probably later this week. I also did want to mention a correction. In the last podcast, I messed up the name of one of the podcasts I reviewed. It should have been 2d6 feet in a random direction, not roll 2d6 feet in a random direction.
Okay, here we go. .com. No? Oh, okay. Dot net. No? Aw, come on. How the heck am I gonna get info to the listeners about my podcast, Geek Acres? Each week there's info on games, info on websites, and info on all kinds of geeky goodness. 15 minutes each and every week of geeky info-packed goodness. Chicken scissors. No, that's probably taken too. TV info, movie info. Hey, wait a minute, wait a minute. www.geekacres.info. Yes, that's it. Fortuitous finds from the World Wide Web at www.geekacres.info. Wonder if also on iTunes.info is available.
So in Netheads this time around, I'm going to kind of step off from the whole geek thing for a little bit and talk about craft podcasts. If you remember correctly, a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned the fact that Sue has a brand spanking new 30 gig white iPod, and to start her off onto the land of podcasts, I had loaded a couple of shows onto it, and I was looking for suggestions from you folks about podcasts that she might like. And fortunately, listener Wacky Lisa gave me a whole bunch of really cool podcasts. Now, a lot of them had to deal with knitting, and Sue has not walked down that particular road just yet. But there were a couple other ones that I thought were interesting, and I've passed on to Sue. She hasn't gotten me her feedback yet as to which one of these she liked, but they are fully loaded onto her podcast now, onto her iPod now. The first would be Kraftborg, which is a nice name for a podcast. It has some of its recent projects included socks, baby blankets, and sweaters, and it includes Podsafe music, which was pretty cool. You can find it at www.craftborg.com. And then another podcast that Lisa suggested was Crafty Pod, which featured foil cards, a zine party, very cool idea, zine party, fabric cards, and Ojos. Not exactly sure what an Ojo is, but apparently you can craft them. The podcast can be found at craftypod.com. Now, there are a few that I found beforehand that I've loaded onto Sue's podcast. The first is Craft Sanity, which is hosted by Jennifer Ackerman Haywood and features interviews with crafters. And you can find it at www.craftsanity.com. The other one is Craftcast, which is hosted by Allison Lee, and it has more interviews with crafters. And that can be found at www.craftcast.com. I have talked to Sue about both of these podcasts, and she likes them. I mean, she's been listening to them like at the gym and just kind of at odd moments and like when driving in the car. And I think that these podcasts kind of prove to her why podcasting can be useful. Because when we talked about it in the past, she's like, well, I don't get it. When would I have time to listen to this? And I think, the cool thing about podcasts that you don't really realize until you start listening to them is that you do have a fair amount of time that you can spend doing this. It could be just cleaning up around the house. It could be driving to a doctor's appointment, whatever. You've got 20 minutes here or there where you can listen to a podcast. And I think the thing that she liked about the Craft Sanity and Craftcast podcasts is that they were interviewing other crafters who were doing things similar to what Sue's interested in, or just, you know, talking about the art of crafting and the business of crafting and how it kind of all comes together. And I think, you know, crafting can be kind of an insular thing. Sue does go to a crafters guild here in the Lehigh Valley, but, you know, most of the time you're kind of, and some of her friends also craft, but, you know, I think it can be a kind of an insular thing, just kind of like geekdom, right? So, you know, it's nice to be able to hear opinions from outside your own head and to just hear about how, you know, other techniques and other projects that people are working on. So I wholeheartedly recommend that you check out these podcasts if you're interested in crafting. And if your significant other is interested in crafting, you know, well, point them out these links and who knows, maybe they'll become pod listeners as well. Links to all of these will be included in the show notes. Now, bringing it back to the whole geek thing for a while, there is a new utility out for Mac OS X called D&D Manager, which is a D20 character and combat manager. Now, it's always great to see more software options for the Mac, but I gotta say, why do people insist on making and remaking and remaking character tools? Initiative tracking I can get, which is something that you can find in D&D Manager, but character creation, I mean, so many things have done it. PC Gen is kind of like the definitive tool out there for it. It does run on the Mac. You know, why not just build something that isn't being done? So I have downloaded it, and I have started playing around with it, and I'll offer some more thoughts on it when I've had a chance to, you know, maybe build a character out in it and see, you know, what the advantages of this particular utility are over others. But, you know, I think at this point, I'd almost rather see people say, okay, you know, PC Gen, it's doing the character generation. I'm going to import those files and use them for my initiative tracker, or I'm going to import those files and use it for, you know, some sort of a campaign utility for DMs with it, tracking notes and that kind of stuff. That would really appeal to me, both as a player and as a DM. But, you know, we'll see. I know everybody likes to do their own thing, so we'll see just how well this one turns out. You can check it out by going to www.erasersoft.com.
You must be listening to the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbn.com. Amazing!
For this week's review, I'm going to talk about Ben Bova's Jupiter, a novel that's part of his Great Tour series of novels. It's published by Tor Science Fiction. It's 416 pages long, and links to it in Amazon and Library Thing will be available through the show notes. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Great Tour features a bunch of books which feature almost every planet in the solar system. The books share a common setting, a mid-21st century where the Earth is ruled by various fundamentalist factions. Now, it doesn't really, you know, it's not particular to any specific religion. You know, we've got a kind of born-again fundamentalists in the United States. We've got Roman Catholic fundamentalists in Europe and Islamic fundamentalists in the Middle East and a couple of other various sects scattered around the world. They're kind of united in a distrust of dissidents and unbelievers. And they are all attempting to come to terms with how to deal with these folks. And for the most part, that seems to involve exiling them to colonies scattered around the solar system. Previously, I read Saturn, in which a space habitat containing 10,000 scientists, dissidents, and other troublemakers is sent into permanent exile around Saturn, where they then explore the methane-shrouded moon of Titan, which may or may not contain life. That story's lack of any organized resistance to the totalitarians who scheme to seize control of the settlement really bothered me, as you might imagine it would bother a kind of libertarian-minded individual like myself. But, you know, I've read a lot of Bova's stuff. He's impressed me with his other novels, and I decided that I would give him a second try with Jupiter. Now, this time around, it takes place aboard the space station Gold, orbiting Jupiter. Its science crew is tasked with exploring the local moons and cataloging their oceanic life forms, but there's a secret mission as well, one that descends into the high-pressure ocean deep below the clouds of Jupiter. Grant Archer is a graduate student in astrophysics who is pressed into mandatory volunteer service and sent to the station by the New Morality to spy on the secret project. Archer, like his would-be New Morality, believes in God, but he is also a scientist. He's furious about being sent to Gold, particularly because his tasks there have nothing to do with his field of study, and also because he was recently married and his wife is staying on Earth. Once on site, he struggles with his status as a spy, even as his own personal and professional curiosity about the secret project grows. Eventually, he finds himself drawn into the project, which will take him into the depths of Jupiter to confront the strangest forms of life in the entire solar system. Now, I personally found this to be a much better novel than Saturn, because it's more about science than politics. The cutscenes that take place in the Jovian Ocean are fascinating and fuel the reader's desire to join the science expedition to the planet. The expedition itself makes for a great read as the crew struggles with extreme environments and the possible madness of one of their own. Grant's personal struggle to balance faith and science, particularly against what his friends find in the deep, makes for a good good counterbalance to the more epic story elements. And I think that actually Bova does a really good job with this, because I think some people might expect that, you know, a scientist like Bova would take the position of, say, he's got a born again main character who realizes the error of his religious ways and then becomes an atheist, and at the end, you know, he's a diehard scientist. And that doesn't really happen in this novel. You really see Grant struggling with what it means to be a person of faith, at the same time trying to reconcile that with being a scientist who relies on reason and facts and all these sorts of things. Another thing that Bova does is a good job of attacking religious extremists without ridiculing day-to-day believers. He certainly doesn't reconcile the eternal debate of science versus religion and fact versus faith, but he does kind of show how they can reach a truce, at least in one person. The actual expedition to the planet is a long time coming, and that can be frustrating. And there are a lot of hurdles put in place that feel more like plot obstacles than real challenges, but ultimately the payoff is really worth it. I think this was a good book. I actually listened to it as an audiobook while I was at the gym. And I think overall it was a pretty good read, and it has me kind of hopeful about reading the sequel to Saturn, which is called Titan and actually takes place on Saturn's moon. So if you're interested in the whole science versus religion debate, I would definitely, or if you're interested in the concept of life on Jupiter itself, not just on its moons, this is definitely a book to check out.
Hi, this is George Takei. I love listening to the Geek Label podcast, and you will too. I'm getting paid for this, right? Run, run, run!
Well. That'll do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. Coming up, we'll have episodes dedicated to kids and gaming, a book review of Learning the World, game review of the Book of Nine Swords Marshall Supplement for D&D, and music by George Harab. Now, I'm always looking for feedback on the show. You can send it to me via email at nuketown@gmail.com. You can Skype me. The username there is Nuketown. I'm available on MySpace at www.myspace.com/knewquist. And finally, you can find me on Twitter at www.twitter.com/newcavic. And oh, let's not forget, there is a website that goes along with all this, and you can find it at www.nuketown.com.